아들이 무슨 쇼게 나 장수선바 남기 당보 냠넷 장수선 마기엔이야 아는 냠넷 간에스 나와레스 지나다 장수선 기에 산에 되네 냠넷 간에스 난 거레스 어제지 디고 간에스 나와레라나 다 장수선바 마기엔이야 샘 마기엔이야 장수선 기에기 돈달라 냠넷 간에스 나와레라나 유응한발로 되바이나 안에 랑기 유 念다 念도다 디솔리안 차다 차다 게안지 어찌게 대당 다와마팀바 디솔리안 나와 진텔리아 셰다게 디나랑 그 레니 옛나미에 집에 셰랍 메바 안제만냐비 된문 지가 마신바 디니진 뒤스 철라도 고레스 제단디네 균 침보 시우세 제단디네 장안 주냠는 제발라 디소 바시리스 내가 디술에 파타제 타른 장릉제 되제네 미종고며 기회 신인 된제 아니 미종고며다 아니 당연 아니 지마시 된된진소 아니 잠바 니시셴보 되네 하사 남다 되네 검제 아니 자주심 규례 깨와레스 냠는 두스나와레스 근데네 아니 냠는 깨네 자주심 규례 깨 차위체라 아니 아직 시험제 탐지기 전달라 판바 두고 인자 안지 지소 난 마슈시 아니제 심진자 안지 장기 냠는 집에 냠용 토네 샬이야 아니 개와 제야다 안디 빠야가 전달라 롭된 제제 어두스네 아니 샬레 판바 두바레 저스 만은 믿은 두고 두바레스 지자 전유스 비 냠는 데네 나와자 나 가로스 이내야 아당보 마우스 줄라 아니 지게 마우스 이내 바체데스
This morning then, continuing with our text of 37 practices of bodhisattvas, we looked at the second practice, which is amongst the group that the beings who were to become bodhisattvas made great efforts in training in order to generate bodhicitta. So the beings that were to become bodhisattvas, they looked with great honesty at their environment, at their abode, and came to recognize that where they were was not ideal, was not an ideal circumstance for the generation of bodhicitta. Rather, because of being surrounded by so many objects of attachment, this afflicted mind of attachment readily arose within themselves. Likewise, because being surrounded by so many objects of attachment, so too did the minds of anger. They also readily arose. And under the influence of these afflictions, which served to obscure their mind, obscuring the mind in the darkness of ignorance, then these beings who aspired to develop bodhicitta, they remained under the influence of their afflictions, and accumulating negative karma under the influence of these afflictions, bringing harm to themselves and to others. And they came, the aspirant bodhisattvas came to recognize the great danger, or the great hindrance that continuing to remain in such a place posed. And they saw that this precious human rebirth, this great opportunity that had been achieved in this life, this was going to waste. And it was going to waste because they were not in an ideal environment to develop their way of thinking. And rather, they were wasting their lives in meaningless activities. So therefore, with a motivation to generate bodhicitta, they removed themselves from this situation and applied themselves wholeheartedly in the meditations on the sufferings of samsara in order to give rise to definite emergence, and on the meditations such as the six cause and one effect in order to give rise to bodhicitta. And they left their home and they went elsewhere with the clear understanding that this was being done in order to overcome their afflictions and generate bodhicitta. And once bodhicitta had been generated and was stable, They would return to society and they would benefit others, no longer with afflicted love, no longer engaging with others under the influence of afflicted love, but rather with genuine love, with pure love, would be interacting with all beings. So therefore, the advice for ourselves is that whatever situation we find ourselves in, whether we are able to remove ourselves from it or not, these meditations that the aspirant bodhisattva is engaged in, these we ourselves must now endeavor to engage in. The meaning was that we've been looking at in these preceding two verses, both with the first two practices of bodhisattvas, is that we first heard that the very best basis to give rise to or to cultivate and generate definite emergence and love, compassion and bodhicitta is the rebirth that we ourselves have attained, a precious human rebirth. But if one, while despite having achieved such a rebirth and a rebirth that is so rare and was difficult to achieve, if one remains in an environment where one is surrounded by obstacles, where one has attachment for one's loved ones and so forth, so now the second practice, then this opportunity that we've achieved will go to waste. We will not be able to fulfill our potential through engaging in the trainings of hearing, reflecting and meditating. Rather, our life will continue, our life, our way of acting and our way of thinking will continue to be consumed by worries over things of no meaning, and engaging in meaningless activities just for this one life. Our mind will remain dominated by worldly problems and so forth. So that's the connection between these two first two practices of a bodhisattva.
pene pavi pa punge pa pa nyama ne dine deje de salon je de ma je de ma jin pava de deje de nga zo deje yu de la pe yu la go wa da gun ning bo ne mi ju ring bo ne gom shi de ya ne se sa je la pe yu la go wa je sa di na xin go to ke wa to ma me ba nga zo ya de xia xie da di mu sum di ge ani wan du ju xian an zu ge ji ge liang ma sa ya da de ne ya ja de ko wa le ma de de wa za de xia xie di mu sum de pe yu na xi xie pe yu xia ji de Pay you said, Dela, Denishi, Dunda, Chilasha. Dina Dinu de Jason Digi, Shahondo Sosanga to get Tipa, Tamara Saji, Dinukova, Tama to Devara, Jesa, want to pay you Nashi, Toma Mebane, Digi, Mazulia, Kova, Ching to Handy, Dushasha, Timo Sumdere, Sachi, Odi, Dissumdere. Jesa Dinenda, Janju Semba Namji, Janju Deji, Janju Sem Kies, and Janju Semba Tanki, Yamlinzo, Karenang Rosen, Dushasha, Timo Sum Payaki, Yamlinzo, and Angores. で、あの、なんかそうですね。え、ランチですね、サンバ。そう、パンチと、ランチですね、サンバ。本当にパンで出るやね、じゃ、じゃ、ジャンバーの世話で、ランシュリーロ、ランチですね、レイヤー。じゃ、ランチですね、サンバ、達人、マリクバディ、天神マリクバディ、パンチとおじね、ニャンね。パンやけど、ニャンね、そうなんかです。
The section of the text that we're in now, so the, including these two, then including the two practices of bodhisattvas we've looked at, are the practices that beings who aspire to become bodhisattvas need to engage in order to generate bodhicitta. Once bodhicitta is generated and the being is a bodhisattva, and the practitioner is counted amongst the children of the Buddhas, then their main practice becomes overcoming the self-cherishing mind. Overcoming the self-cherishing mind. And the self-cherishing mind is actually right now what causes us to act under the rightful of our afflictions. And there's a self-cherishing mind right now that causes our afflictions to arise and us to act under the influence of these afflictions, bringing harm to others. The self-cherishing mind, which we can understand as the ignorance of self-grasping, it is through this arisal that we have attachment for our loved ones. It's through the arisal of the self-cherishing mind or the ignorance of self-grasping that anger arises. And it's these minds that are keeping us bound in samsara. So if we look at the second practice again, and then the first three words in the first three lines, what we see is attachment, anger, ignorance. And these together are called the three poisons. And it's the three poisons which bind us in samsara. These three poisons are the chains which keep us bound within the suffering realms of samsara. To attain liberation from samsara, it's these chains, these three poisons, that have to be eliminated. So a deeper way to understand abandoning one's home is, as we heard in the presentation this morning, our home is where our loved ones are around us, and in dependence on these beings whom we have so much attachment for, our afflictions readily arise and our life then gets consumed in meaningless activities, leading us to waste this precious opportunity, leading us not to be able to fulfill our human potential, our full human potential. And what is it that then really is that that causes us to waste this life? Indirectly, we can point to the objects such as our loved ones, but primarily, it is actually these three poisons. It's actually these three poisons. So when we look at this fourth line, it says abandoning one's home. A subtler way, a deeper way to understand this, is the home that is to be abandoned are what we are so familiar with, we are so habituated to, and causes our current suffering and our future suffering. These three poisons. So a deeper way to understand this verse then is abandoning the three poisons is the practice of bodhisattvas. And this is the practice of a bodhisattva. So a being who has generated bodhicitta, then they are striving to overcome all their afflicted minds, in particular the self-cherishing mind. The self-cherishing mind from which all the other afflictions arise. Or instead of using the term the self-cherishing mind, we can say the ignorance of self-grasping, from which attachments and anger arise. The primary activity of a being who has arisen as a bodhisattva is to eliminate the self-cherishing mind. What causes them, the bodhisattva, to still put their self-interest first, and through eliminating this, they can be of greatest benefit to others. So here it's useful to take a moment and reflect on a quotation from a sutra, so something that Lord Buddha himself taught. Wherever those afflictions exist, you should not let them abide for even a brief moment. I'll read it again. Wherever those afflictions exist, you should not let them abide for even a brief moment. The sutra quotation establishes the verse that we looked at this morning. Wherever those afflictions exist, you should not let them abide for even a brief moment. So where do these afflictions exist? This is what was referred to this morning as one's home. It's a place where the afflicted minds arise with such ease, such frequency, and such strength and duration. It's the place where the conditions for the ripening of these afflicted minds abound. And such a place, so that's the first part, wherever these afflictions exist. And then the second part, you should not let them abide for even a brief moment. In other words, from such a place where the causes for our suffering, the place where our obstacles to spiritual development abound, such a place we should flee. Such a place we should turn away from, because of the harm for us in our immediate position, as well as to our spiritual development, as well as for our spiritual growth.
Deep subsidian double jaws, Carson deep ma trilla tayala, and it lay low shires, been it, do I buy the
When we plant a seed and it just starts to sprout, just growing through the ground, then when this plant is still young and delicate, it's easily harmed. If the weather is unseasonal, perhaps unseasonably hot or unseasonably cold or wet, then it's very likely that fresh sprout will die. But when that sprout, if it's well cared for, and it grows so that it is strong and stable, then those same conditions, such as excessive heat or rain, would not be able to harm the plant, because now it is strong, it is stable. So similar to this analogy, when we're hearing teachings and we're feeling some stirring within ourselves, when we're engaging in reflection on and meditation on these teachings, and we're having some inner development, the mind, such as definite emergence, is starting to grow within us. We still have not yet realized it, but it's starting to grow within us. Here one has to be careful. One has to take great care, because it's very easy for small obstacles to overcome, to overpower, to dominate, to destroy what we have achieved with such hardship. So therefore, for us as beginners, we're encouraged to leave our home, the place where afflictions arise so easily, and go somewhere isolated. And thirdly, rely on a spiritual teacher. Rely on their guidance. And with these three coming together, leaving home, going somewhere isolated, relying on a spiritual teacher, qualities will grow. And this is the actual situation for us as beginners.
Then ཁྱི ཕྱད མི ཁྱི ཕྱི
When the aspirant bodhisattva recognizes the great danger that remaining in their current circumstances poses for themselves, when they recognize why they feel they have so little time and so little energy for spiritual practice, and they resolve to changing the situation in order to be able to transform their minds, they leave home, they go somewhere isolated, and they train with vigor in the cultivation of bodhicitta. When bodhicitta is realized, not just when it's starting to grow, not even when it's sometimes there, but when it's realized, then, like the powerful tree that is not harmed by cold weather or hot weather, that is not harmed even by children playing and knocking it about, in the same way, when the bodhisattva has given rise to stable realization and has skill in the six perfections, then the bodhisattva is ready to rejoin society and be able to engage with others under the influence now of bodhicitta, and act out their trainings in the six perfections too, helping beings, those who are tormented by suffering in the most manifest of ways. And the bodhisattva is able to do this now, no longer getting angry and annoyed and frustrated by life's events, no longer being overcome by attachment, no longer being completely obscured by the darkness of ignorance. And this is due to the stability and power of their realizations of the bodhicitta and the perfections. And therefore, now when this bodhisattva engages in society and they encounter a situation similar to what were encountered before they departed and went into isolation, they are no longer overwhelmed by these situations. They no longer respond in a similar way. Rather, instead of being harmed by these situations, or instead of these situations serving as conditions for the arisal of afflictions, those same situations serve as conditions for the arisal of minds of virtue, and thereby strengthening their practice of the perfections, strengthening their bodhicitta. This is a skillful way to practice. And it's, I'd like to share another quotation, this time from Lama Atisha. One's home is like being put inside a monstrous prison. Cut the shackles of householders' activities. Free yourself from beloved companions and hated enemies, the home of negative karma, attachment, and anger. I'll read it again. One's home is like being put inside a monstrous prison. Cut the shackles of householders' activities. Free yourself from beloved companions and hated enemies, the home of negative karma, attachment, and anger.
Jigi pei na dioba ne dua cha kong zhuo ngai jia tini timu ti suba chik kor je zhuan kang kang ba na xin ji de xia xi da timu sum ji che di nan lu cui che ne ga bri le de xia ji ga bri le ane ni kong zhe ji ga bri le chik ma xin bi mo ba ma xin bi wang ge le zha ma ra chen de ne chen ane ko ngan zu de ne chen mi si de zuo zuo che che nian ne ji ya ko bra wo ma che zo ya to ba gong bi de zu wo ma ra che za nian ne ji ko ma ra ba ne de ne ga ngo ko wa le ta tu wo ma re che za pei yu ka so re pei yu du ge zhen kang jie la mi xue li ji qing da qu yu shi na da zao zai yu zao wa de ni ni da le qin an ne ji ge cha wa dang an ne zao le ya dang wa jie jie de ne jin cha yu cha da wo me du li jie jie zan de li pa zhe wo le cha dang de le ta wo le sheng zu ko wa le ta wo ne cha dang de bang wo le cha dang de bang ba ni ma dan ma ba ne ko le zhe tu ma le de ne yin zang de ne ge cha dang ji yu le zhe wo le se ta ling xin de de jie
去年的结果来说的，这些，但那些话，车上都拿几块钱过来。As we've heard here, for us beginners, when trying to cultivate the minds of the Dharma within us, our home is like a prison. We see that in this quotation from Atsisha. The first part of it is, one's home is like being put inside a monstrous prison. Cut the shackles of householders' activities. The position we find ourselves in is our home is likened to a prison in that a prison is somewhere that you cannot leave at will. And we cannot leave our home right now. What is the meaning of us not being able to leave our home? What is the meaning of our home here being likened to a prison? Because the prison is not the physical abode, but it's the afflictive mind, in particular these three poisons of attachment, anger, and ignorance that ripen with such ease, in particular in this environment. So therefore we understand that it's through this that the home is likened to a prison because of the near-continuous ripening of these afflictive minds there. And it's these afflictive minds that bind us into samsara. And moreover, under the influence of these afflictions, it's not just the mental suffering of the afflictions, it's acting under their influence. We engage, as the verse says here, cut the shackles of householders' activities. So all these meaningless activities that we engage in to fulfill ordinary worldly ambitions, ambitions that when fulfilled lead to mere happiness, slight happiness in this one life, happiness that's quickly lost, but also to problems. So this needs to be severed. As the verse continues, free yourself from beloved companions and hated enemies. The home of negative karma, attachment, and anger. Here one comes to recognize that the grave dangers of remaining in our current situation is firstly due to the influence of these afflictions, we accumulate further causes for suffering, and secondly, that we waste this precious opportunity that we've achieved. We don't live up to our potential. We do not achieve our potential. We do not live a life of meaning. So therefore, to attain liberation, which is liberation from our afflicted minds, we need to go away from where they ripen with such ease and dominate us so. This is what we need to abandon and go somewhere isolated, somewhere that is free from those conditions, those adverse conditions that lead to the ready ripening, the easy ripening of our afflicted minds.
Kowale 他养人些呢，安尼这些呢，安尼呀，就去你们这个那么几位新人党，等那个去了有啥，等那个怕亲戚过后有啥经历啊，进来抓进来，你们结果也是，他说个牛都主要是南山的结果也交了。
Another quotation to share is one from Jetsima Laripa. Quickly escape from the monstrous prison of your home that is so difficult to be free from. In this quotation, quickly escape from the monstrous prison of your home that is so difficult to be free from. Jetsima Laripa is showing the urgency with which we need to act. The attainment of freedom or liberation from the suffering realms of samsara is not easy. Hence we've been trapped here for so many lifetimes. In order to be able to attain freedom, we need to abandon the three poisons, because it's from these afflicted minds that we are striving to achieve freedom from. And in order to achieve something that is so difficult, something that we haven't been able to achieve over so many lifetimes, we need all the favorable circumstances that we can muster on our side. Every possible advantage that we can attain, we need to. And this includes abandoning our home, going somewhere isolated, relying on our spiritual teacher, putting into practice their advice, in other words, hearing teachings, reflecting and meditating on them. And in this way, become someone remarkable. And then we'll be able to be a person who brings great meaning into this world. The further quotation I'd like to share is one by Jay Ger Tsangpa. One's home is a repository of the five poisons. It is the cause for the arisal of attachment, anger, and impatience. So I'll read it again. One's home is a repository of the five poisons. It is the cause for the arisal of attachment, anger, and impatience. Yeah, not the usual three poisons are expanded on and presented as five. Attachment, anger, and ignorance, the same three, as well as jealousy and pride. So again, we are being urged to look with honesty, to look with clarity at our current circumstances. See whether they are benefiting us. See where we are in our spiritual progression compared to where we could be, and make the required changes. Several quotations here by Buddha Shakyamuni himself, Milarepa and Tisha, and Jago Tangpa. And the meaning of these are all the same. They all back up what Dogme Zampo has composed. So these great lamas, they are encouraging us. They're encouraging us by pointing out that you are beginners. You need to take care of your virtue because you are not so accustomed to virtuous minds, but rather are habituated and accustomed to afflicted minds. You have to get all the favorable circumstances you can get on your side. Therefore, look at your current situation and see if it's ideal or not. And make the changes that are required. Go somewhere isolated. Rely on a spiritual teacher. And make great endeavor. And in this way you can be certain that you will give rise to the spiritual goals that you long for. All of you at home watching the this teaching on the, from the website or on YouTube, the reason you're there, not here before me now, is because this is the instruction from our government, and not just our government, but all medical professionals. You're sitting at home now, not here with me in our Gompa, because our government has told us to, and the medical professionals have told us to isolate. They've told us to stay away from others. And moreover, they've told us to engage in particular activities, such as washing our hands regularly and covering our mouth when we cough and so forth. So we've received quite a lot of advice, and it's been specific, it's been clear, and it's been presented with, this is the danger that will follow if you do not follow this advice. Harm will come to you if you do not follow this advice. Even if you have personally avoid harm, harm will come to others due to your own behavior. And moreover, we're being encouraged to look after your health, eat well, exercise in your home to keep your immune system well, keep your immune system strong. And this way, you will not only care for yourself, but you'll care for your loved ones, you'll care for your community. And here, I know throughout our world, certainly ourselves, everyone watching this video, we're very aware of the danger of this pandemic and aware of what may befall us and others if this advice is not followed. And therefore, we are all taking great care. You are at home, isolated, following the wise advice so as not to suffer yourself or to play a part in causing others to suffer. We are all taking great care. So this is a very apt analogy to what we're looking at here. The medical professionals can be likened to the great lamas, the bodhisattvas, the Buddha himself, all encouraging us to apply ourselves to cultivating definite emergence and bodhicitta. These are like the vaccines that will prevent us from being harmed by negative karma, harmed by the afflictions. So in the same way that our government and the medical professionals are advising us to follow their advice, to use our wisdom, to look at our circumstances, and to take all the remedial activity that we can to ensure that we are not harmed and we do not bring harm to others. We need to look at our situation here. We need to see what the impediments are to our spiritual practice. We need to look at what causes our mind to be consumed by busyness and worldly activities and prevent us from living a truly meaningful life, prevent us from taking the essence of this precious life. And when we look at the situation in the world from the Dharma perspective, we can look beyond the illustration of suffering that is this pandemic, and we can think, especially in dependence on our reflection on the threefold suffering, the sufferings of samsara, we'll see how the afflicted minds pervade ordinary beings, cause so much suffering, so much pain. And through these afflicted minds, negative karma is perpetually accumulated, leading to ever more suffering and continuity of the sufferings of samsara. So just like none of us can directly see the virus, we also can't see the afflicted minds that pervade ordinary beings. But we can use our wisdom. We hear the advice from knowledgeable people, the healthcare professionals. We use our wisdom to reflect, to contemplate that advice, and then we follow it. Likewise, we need to do this here with these teachings. So in the same way that fear has arisen based on having reflected on what we've heard in terms of the virus, and therefore we have changed our behavior, we need to go through the same process here, hearing the teachings, reflecting on them, seeing their validity, seeing how so much of our life has been wasted in meaningless distraction, and rather see that these great goals of definite emergence and body citta, we can achieve that. We can achieve it because we have the same basis as all the beings who were to go on and become bodhisattvas. So therefore we can turn away from what is deceiving us. We can turn away from what is harming us. And in this way, just like we are all now protecting ourselves from suffering through the cultivation of definite emergence, cultivation of love, compassion, bodhicitta, these serve as our vaccine to the sufferings of samsara. Moreover, they serve as giving us the potential to be of great benefit to others. Now we can come to the third practice of bodhisattvas, that of relying upon solitude. Abandoning that which is harmful, afflicted minds gradually diminish. Without distractions, spiritual practices naturally increase. With clarity of mind, conviction in the Dharma arises. Relying upon solitude is the practice of bodhisattvas. As we've just been hearing in the preceding practice, we need to identify what is hindering our spiritual development. We need to identify what is holding us back from achieving our potential. And we need to separate ourselves from that. And we need to go in the direction or go towards what benefits our spiritual development, what benefits our practice. And that means turning away from our worldly life, turning toward our spiritual teacher, and going to a place where we can receive teachings, reflect on them, and meditate on them. And to be able to do this to the extent that we can truly transform our mind, we need to develop a strength of mind that is incomparable with what we have, a mind that is stable, a mind that is powerful. In order to give rise to an actual mental path, which would be an uncontrived mind of definite emergence, an uncontrived mind of bodhicitta, we need an incredibly powerful mind and a mind that is stable. In other words, in order to give rise to actual mental path, we need to cultivate the union of calm abiding and meditative insight. This is crucial because we know that especially where we currently are, our mind is dominated by distractions, busyness of worldly life, and all our mundane responsibilities, and therefore it's very difficult to meditate in an undistracted manner. But whatever progress we have already made in our spiritual developments, in our meditation topics, in order to give rise to an actual path, which is an uncontrived realization of depth in emergence and bodhicitta, which means the minds of depth in emergence and bodhicitta don't need to be intentionally generated, but rather they spontaneously arise. They don't need to be contrived, but they arise in an uncontrived manner. For that to come about, one needs to gain a realization based on the union of calm abiding and meditative insight. In order to generate single-pointed concentration and meditative insight, one needs to be in an isolated place, free of distraction, free of mundane responsibilities and the busyness of worldly life.
Looking at the first line, abandoning that which is harmful, afflicted minds gradually diminish. Here, having heard and reflected on many teachings, then one will have a great understanding of the topic, but not just merely an intellectual understanding, but through reflection, doubts, uncertainties, ambiguities will all have been overcome. One will know how to engage in the training and have, and that knowledge will be based on experience, in that one will have been engaging in extensive, or have engaged in extensive reflection. And this will lead to the afflicted minds diminishing already. Then, when one is in an isolated place, one is ready to now start meditating, developing the calm abiding meditative insight. And this is because now, as we are somewhere more isolated, more quiet, our progress is greatly sped up, because, like we heard in the previous verse, the objects of the afflictions, when they surround us, the afflictions arise readily. Now, when we're somewhere isolated, those objects that give rise to the afflictions are few and far between. So the afflictions mostly or often arise through our five senses. When what our five senses can perceive is greatly limited, there are far fewer causes to give rise to our afflictions, especially in a strong manner. For example, we're not going to be seeing objects of desire, so we're not going to have desire and attachment readily ripening. We're not going to hear, for example, praise of others, people telling us of how wonderful we are, and therefore attachment, our pride arising. We're not going to be tasting delicious food and desiring to eat such food again, or tasting awful food and never wanting to eat that again, because our diet will be very simple. So all these objects of attachment that we interact with through our sense consciousnesses, whether sight, whether hearing, whether taste or smell or touch, these are all greatly reduced. There won't be desire for new clothing, for something that looks a little nicer and a little less worn out. Rather, we'll probably have one set of clothes, maybe a spare set. We'll wash it, leave it out to dry, and that's it. That is our wardrobe. So remove from these objects that would normally give rise to attachment, our mind settles. And this is not just with attachment, but our afflictions. They all come about, they readily arise through our sense doors. For example, anger. We won't be seeing people that we dislike and thereby giving rise to anger. We won't hear criticism or be accused of things we didn't do and therefore give rise to anger, and so forth. So therefore, going somewhere isolated, abandoning that which is harmful, our afflicted minds will gradually diminish. Likewise, abiding in an isolated place, whom are we going to look down on and feel proud towards? Who are we going to be jealous towards? Living in isolation, engaging in Dharma practice, naturally cause our afflicted minds to diminish. And similarly, our accumulation of negative karma, this will also gradually diminish. Living in isolation, who are we going to lie to? Who are we going to deceive and take advantage of? Who are we going to gossip with? Living on our own, being in isolation naturally causes our afflicted minds and accumulation of negative karma to gradually diminish.
但现在民土呀，我们这些开现在开户是见面的吧？面对年把来对开起来了呢，俺们这个年嘛，俺们这个给予新人在那呀，年不能结账过年些吧，提把退吧结，退呢短的三年两年都三百的，俺们这个理解的话，实际上退吧就短的了呀，两年都三大的，这三大都公家的嘞，公家的嘞，实际上那点那个公家，但俺们怕短的那这个。别去对啊，当然当啊，啥呀做呢？顶你去对，哪个呢？给我说过的，旅游过呢？那这样你一般就缺个朋友的，啊，你吃吃呀当，你就就缺个朋友当，啊，你人家朋友，吃朋友，不要朋友，啊，你忙点朋友，啊，你这个这个哪个呢？新人家，这都你什么拿呢？那么当那么的那么的，对吧？这些都这些，对吧？这样的，很少有个人这样，那么个人这样，人家都是那个这个，那么个拿下话的有，我们那边这，你的你的了，我们这多，这都，这都，人家这都，云南有什么？云南本来南面没别，感觉让你骗了，是的。实际上，人家个南面还没完事，人家个这样的路是这样的，你感觉有云南有什么？感觉对吧？良心可也六百七十多，俺给骗住过来，良心可六百七十骗，六百七十住过来，骗住过来去。南面没别，感觉让你骗了是。
Living in isolation, what was one?What is the purpose of being in this isolated place? On one hand, we hear our afflicted minds gradually diminish. Moreover, this is an ideal opportunity to reflect on what, on the teachings that we've received and we've meditated on already a lot, here to do so in an undistracted manner.And it's much easier to do so in an undistracted manner because of the lack of distractions around oneself. And this is what we see in the second line. Without distractions, spiritual practices naturally increase. Here we'll have our mind on the topic of meditation, both in meditation, keep it present in between sessions, reflecting on the topic of meditation, reading texts on the topic of meditation,reciting a mantra, reciting prayers that bring inspiration, making offerings, prostrations, and so forth. In other words, following the advice of our spiritual teacher in an undistracted manner. So in this way, living in isolation without distractions, our spiritual practices from our body, speech, and mind naturally increase.
Nyamnen jeyo de, dine ganzo lunga yisumye nyejo dunbyo tsutum yi laba degi tsutum namba dawa chakwar, chiza nyebe lunga ge nyebe mago ba, anu tsutum degi tsutum namba dawa chayadan. Dine ge da, lami ge, da nyamnen jeytan song xeba de, yane, yandu gom, che zeji de dingi zi, gom, je gom yon du, ganzo dingi zi sem dimbu, de yu le zeji de nipi dingi zi, gaya de xinye zhubya dan. Dine ge xinye zhubdu yu di ngayba yin, di reysha sanbi ge ngayba nye che, de le zeji de nipi xinye zhubdu yu du, अन्य कार्य चावल से ने शेवा दिए रिपा डांवे चलाने से के से तो जिने यू की डंडा दिन बस समें ने तला जेसी ने बिंग ही जिने के ने निभा चुके हैं तो जिने रिपा दिए सेवु अन्य डीजे ने जेहू के डीजे ने बांजा डी लंजा डी रे से ने कुआ नम्बर छे से पागल जो ने जेसी वादा ने रिपा सेवु ने रिपा दिए बन नंबर जेसी ने तो
As one living in isolation and following the spiritual instructions from one's teacher, of course, through one's endeavors, one will gain ever greater familiarity with the topic of meditation.But also all the other practices one is engaging in, such as ethical conduct, the mind of restraint that also restrains our physical and verbal activities. This practice grows ever stronger, as do the other practices that we indirectly engage in, whilst directly engaging in the cultivation of the specific instructions that our teachers have given us. And as we reflect
ever more profound detail on the topic of meditation, we'll come to gain certainty of it. And once we come to have certainty over the object, we'll be ready to then develop calm abiding, single-pointed concentration on that object. And moreover, how to cultivate calm abiding, in particular, the various stages of developing calm abiding on that object, as well as how to overcome the various obstacles that arise whilst developing calm abiding, as well as being able to accurately judge one's development of calm abiding, one's progression of the development of calm abiding, and thereby see if one is progressing correctly or if one is making errors or not. This is all possible, having abandoned one's home and entered isolation. Furthermore, in the third line, with clarity of mind, conviction in the Dharma arises. So here, as the meditator is investigating the topic of meditation in ever more detail, there's skill in cultivating the virtuous minds that need to be adopted, and there's skill in abandoning the non-virtuous minds that need to be turned away from, as we saw in the previous verse, cultivated and discarded. As they become ever more skilled in this, their spiritual training rapidly progresses. And through this process, as the afflictions weaken, their wisdom grows in strength and shines through ever more. You see, in the final line of this practice, relying upon solitude is the practice of bodhisattvas. So practitioners who aspired to giving rise to bodhicitta and being included amongst the children of the Buddha, they looked with honesty at the environment they found themselves in and saw it as a place where the afflicted minds rose with tremendous ease, and that this was causing them to waste this life, causing their way of thinking to be dominated by meaningless activities and by worldly affairs. Seeing this great fault, they then moved away from this environment and they went somewhere where they could receive many teachings, reflect on them and meditate on them. And they did so for a sustained period of time under the close and personal guidance of their Lama, developing ever greater qualities within themselves. And as these qualities gained more stability through the practices of hearing and reflecting, when the understanding of particular topics became stable and definite, removed of any doubt or ambiguity, then under the advice of their Lama, they retreated to an isolated place. And there they concentrated with their meditation on that topic, developing the union of karma body and meditative insight on that topic. And in this way, these practitioners gave rise to definite emergence, and in particular, because of having the strength of mind of the union of karma body and meditative insight, definite emergence became uncontrived. Likewise, they could generate bodhicitta through this process and engage in the reflections relating to the six perfections. So this is a definite sequence that they went through. And they went through the sequence at the outset with the wish to be of benefit to others, knowing that through going through the sequence, they will be benefit for themselves, but they will benefit others and not bring harm to others. And moreover, in their training, they also would be able to make great progress on weakening the ignorance of self-grasping. Having attained, in particular, the stable realization of bodhicitta, as well as realizations of the perfections, they were then ready to re-enter society. And re-entering society, those previous circumstances which would have caused harm to them, caused afflictions to arise, now no longer harm the bodhisattva. Rather, the bodhisattva uses them to strengthen the bodhicitta, to strengthen the various minds of the six perfections, and thereby aid their own spiritual progression. And moreover, now, having re-entered society, they can guide others, teaching them the Dharma, guiding them how to turn away from the place where the afflictions arise so early, how to hear and through hearing and training how to reflect, guiding the students to give rise to realizations, and then encouraging them to enter, to go somewhere isolated and progress just like this bodhisattva did too. So this is how all the bodhisattvas in the world practiced. And they did so until they gained a stable realization of bodhicitta and re-entered society. And that is the example that they have set forth for us.
Yane yadu chu nye, tuba chiyadang, tuba duen de la yane yadu samdang, yane yadu samdang, dine yane sa samdang pe duen de la yang zhugu ngomya ki mbe su chi hu res. Chisa dine yin zang, dine ki chiye la
你也得了，俺这娘们就是你也得了呀，俺这娘子控制当恰当当，对恰当控制了，说不接的，对那个健康把些忙不用过的呢，对那你也得了怕不要钱呢，对那个没啥精力啊，不要钱，俺这个，俺这确实是也是，你，俺那这个，确实是老，做不下我有啥，对那些也别人俺这娘们去，刚刚偷偷接活的是，现在对那些俺这都是那娘们去。
那几个，俺这娘们姐的做的可是呢，加上徐八那些，他可以给动我的了，俺就加上可以动我了，他过的可以动我，居然怕可以动我的了，居然什么的，但居然什么的，这可以动我了，他过的嘛，但呢，他没多三百个，他，哦，都是那可瓦的眼睛结结，他可瓦的眼睛结，过没地了，当然就的可瓦的眼睛都是可瓦的了，嘛，但呢，他没多可瓦，他过都三百什么的，过没得些，他可瓦的他娃的让谁的几十些，三什么的他也把的，其他俺其他让可瓦的他娃怎么，什么的他们就可瓦的他娃几把的，什么的，其他什么的，他让了这个定下了一个的，定下了多下的是搞学嘛的，其他七八几个人，其他年龄有嘛的是年龄没把当用过，俺那的什么的他们就让给。 怕当嘛解牛啊，俺那点那个怕当嘛解别个不让人家给点钱不接吧一把，俺那这个给点钱，俺那点那个给点钱，但点让了呀，什么叫他们这样了给点钱没啥，让给人家点了呀，给点怕，什么给人家怕弱，几个人什么三大呀当，俺点那个三大呢，俺这个他，什么叫他们这电话的电脑，什么给电话的电话少，什么叫俺讲不讲，其实电话的电话的电话具体可是呢。 在金宝出生时吧，村里的娘们子也接过过来，其实的娘们子吧的，俺让伊呢，的娘们子，现在伊呢，的那个娘们子家里啊，你判断出土几三百个，俺的那个什么大呀？俺都是呢，的那什么家，他们家在东莞那查过东莞那查过学，三百个，俺你就讲，在东莞也有具体做的，来当牛毛牛毛把那点立过来，其实他牛毛我帮伢的。 俺那牛毛不念不的牛毛不的没把水，现在那牛毛不念不电堂没把水上的垃圾呢，甚至他们这牛毛把炸了的没几个人，甚至给拉上街。今年咱们这三九国宝码头，他们的甚至三九国宝脱过学，甚至什么的，人家最多现在，但你们这里啊，目前人把这都搞不清，他们的那个就甚至他们三九国宝脱过学，甚至什么的，伢的忙啊，搞不的呢，哎。 天天俺就你的，你那都行的，伢那伢都过来了，可这一点嘛，可就搞不到都搞不，搞不了的，俺就给提的。其实，俺就提，你嘛，就是先把矿上作业，就是买几年了，对那个伢们就都就是接送了，其实俺作业那点那些伢们就，但前就是俺作业那就是接差完一呢，但俺就给让新机，就是先把这一个，这边派出去给伢们接接，下来判断结果，俺新俺作业大大截图过来，是吧？对那样子。
All these verses were composed as a roadmap for us to follow, an example for us to cultivate within ourselves. Because this is how all the practitioners who went on to become bodhisattvas trained. So now that we have this incomparable opportunity that comes with the precious human rebirth, we need to follow the advice that is laid out in this text. In particular, we need to hear teachings, reflect on these teachings, not just sporadically, but repeatedly over a sustained period. And where we have obstacles, where we find ourselves having obstacles to doing so, we need to look at those circumstances that lead to the arisal of our afflictions, which are our obstacles, and we need to change our circumstances. Because for us to spiritually develop, we need to receive many teachings, reflecting on them, and doing so with enthusiasm and a joyful outlook.
This is difficult to do if we find ourselves in a place where attachment arises with ease, anger arises with ease, pride and other afflictions. Such a place we need to leave and go somewhere where we're rather surrounded by like-minded companions, by Dharma friends, and with as part of this community, train under the care and guidance of our spiritual teacher, hearing teachings, reflecting on them. This is what we need to do. And the meditations then to engage in is firstly, reflect on the sufferings of samsara, reflect on what is being experienced by beings in the lower realms and the so-called happier migrations. Reflect both on the suffering as well as the causes of suffering, and do so until we clearly identify that it's the afflicted minds that cause us to suffer. It's afflicted minds that create our own individual samsara, and therefore wanting to be happy, wanting to be free of pain and misery, it's these afflicted minds that we must endeavor to destroy. When we give rise to this wish, where we see with vivid clarity that it's the afflictions that cause all our pain and suffering, that this is what we have to abandon, we give rise to the mind of definite emergence, where we see that there is nothing more important than freeing ourselves from the control of the afflictions, freeing ourselves from samsara. And this is a great topic, a large topic, but it's the first step in the meditation. The second step is, to the extent that we have attained realization here, we apply this to others, seeing that there is no difference between ourselves and others. Others are in the same position, suffering in the same way due to the same reason. And seeing the similarity between ourselves as the basis to develop impartiality, seeing that there really is no valid reason to say that there's no valid reason behind the closeness we currently feel for some and the distance for others, and even the indifference towards others. Developing impartiality, we reflect on the intimate and personal relationship we have with all beings, the kindness they've shown us, both directly and indirectly, since beginningless time. And doing so to the point where, independent on this meditation, arises the longing, the yearning desire within us to repay the kindness of those who have been so good to us. And independent on that realization, we cultivate the mind of love, which is the wish for others to be happy. And to be happy, may they cultivate the causes of happiness. And those causes of happiness I too need to cultivate, so that I can guide them skillfully, those causes of happiness being generosity, ethical conduct, patience. I need to cultivate these in myself so that I can guide others to do so. And I will cultivate these causes and dedicate the merit to them so they can also have this opportunity to develop these minds and these imprints within themselves. From love, we then focus on developing compassion. For others to actually be freed, to be happy, they need to be freed of suffering. We generate the wish, may all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. And those causes of suffering we've already identified as afflicted minds. So I must, as a representative of all beings, eliminate my own afflicted minds. Because it's through gaining experience here, I can become a skillful guide for others. And meditating on love and compassion in this way, we're already creating the foundation to give rise to the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility, which is where we take individual responsibility for others, where we take as our own personal commitment to ensure that each being is guided from this current suffering state of samsara to the achievement of liberation. That for as long as beings remain trapped in samsara, this is my responsibility to guide them and to ensure that they do not remain for a moment longer. Generating this altruistic attitude, we then
commit to actualizing this, to not having it as a mere wish, but to become the most skilled of guides. And this is where we commit to strive wholeheartedly, single-pointedly, with every fiber within us, to become enlightened, a perfect being, so that we can skillfully guide others. So this meditation, if you can engage in these two points, first generating definite emergence, secondly generating bodhicitta, the more you can engage in this, gain familiarity with all these varying points, to the extent that you are able to engage in this meditation repeatedly, these realizations will start to grow in you, have a more and more profound impact on you, and a transformative impact on your life. And then when one has received many teachings and reflected well on them, and entered into an isolated place, and achieved calm abiding and special insight on bodhicitta, and developed bodhicitta and arisen as a bodhisattva, and that realization is stable and one has familiarity with the six perfections, then one is ready to re-enter society, and acting under the influence of bodhicitta, engaging in the activities of a bodhisattva, one will not be harmed by worldly activities, but will be able to use them to aid our spiritual progression and to be of great benefit to others. So we've only looked at a few of practices so far, but hopefully we see this progression now, that how the one practice builds on the previous one, bringing us to this point.
And the Zubi Yemen Gomba Jebainza, and the Mongba the Din, then you will remove to be Din Delia, Womba Sangwatan, and Chasa, Zubi, Chicka, Dota, Tempatan, Sisi, the Tempa Yungore. That Zundu Yemen Jebainza, and Chile Jelbe, Dona, Gobu, and Dunya Dumba, Shuchim Gungure, and Jimolam Jebainza, Lama, Jimar the Chitting, Lama de Lela, Wuchiata, and Lama in the Chishia, Gobia, Wurad, Dina Yungore, and those in the Mazu Cedilla Dine Yamna Chidu, Saint Chima de la Dine Yoma, that Timitin de la Dine Yamna Chirura, Dine Chida, two shin Chigi Chigi, now to get Yaya Dron Mazu, Tarbata Temptation Boko on the Drobo Water, Dine and Dinegi are to be Chin Yashi Chibi, two shin Gomiadi, Bemasi Kitchen Machagore, Chojin are to get that name the Yen JJ, and then are to be Chu Nimoso Zomche, Chishioko, Rayo Mati, Yina. King and the Chua Rede, Mazu, the Nick Campus Sosoran, Jerry Cabrudu, and a Sosorangi, Gom Nianje, Gom Jap, Jamin Cheva Inna, King and Lambu Juas, Chavar Chesang, Mazuki, King and the Chua Inna, King and D, the Nick Nangle Dudu, D, the Yamle de Bay, Yamle Chu, Yamle Chel Bishop, Tantuva Inna, King and Lambu Juas, Chatu, Chesa Dininza, Mazu Dine Gomiadi, Chimachagor, yes, during it, Mazu Shia de Dine.
That meditation, two steps are presented, but there's a third that should be cultivated too. So the first step was to generate definite emergence, the second was bodhicitta. Having generated bodhicitta, committed to striving to become a Buddha, then one enters into the third step of the meditation, which is to cultivate the practices of bodhisattvas, and that is namely the six perfections. So here one meditates on generosity. So one has given rise to bodhicitta, one has given rise to a wish to become a Buddha so as to ease the pain, ease the suffering, all the misery that beings are experiencing. And with this attitude pervading one with sincerity offers one's life to the easing of the burden that others carry. One offers all one's possessions and resources to bring about a cessation of suffering for all beings. All this merit that one is accumulating, one offers this to others so that they can have the causes for happiness ripen on their continuum. And moreover, with awareness that its independence on the kindness of others, in particular our Lama, the three jewels, but also sentient beings, that we have had the opportunity to cultivate this merit, acquire these possessions, have this rebirth, this life, this body. I commit to using it all to bring of benefit to others. And in this way, with sincerity, we offer everything we have to our Lama, the three jewels, and suffering sentient beings. Having generated this attitude based on bodhicitta to only benefit others, we move into the meditation on ethical conduct, making the explicit intention to not do anything contrary to the ideal of a bodhisattva. No matter what we are doing, not to bring harm to others. To restrain our way of thinking, to ensure that our mind always stays on virtue, we don't harm others through anything we say or anything we do, but to restrain our body, speech and mind. We give rise to the ethical outlook through seeing that unethical behavior is contrary to everything that we hold dear. We commit to never bringing harm to others. In dependence on this, we commit that whatever obstacles and hardships we encounter, whether they come about from others, through our own inner turmoil, or in our cultivation of the Dharma, we will ensure that we keep our mind undisturbed. We don't allow the afflictions to dominate and overwhelm us, but rather we keep our mind undisturbed, and where harm comes from others, we will help them in response to that harm. And fourthly, we generate great joy, we rejoice in what we have achieved in this meditation session, as well as all the previous endeavors that we have made hearing teachings and reflecting on them, committing, dependent on seeing our spiritual growth, committing to continue to do so, independent on knowing the need that beings have for bodhisattvas, committing to strive to become a bodhisattva for their sake. And after those four practices, we then make strong and heartfelt prayers that for life after life, may we always be born where the need is greatest and we can be of greatest benefit. May we meet our spiritual teachers at a young age, recognize them as true Mahayana virtuous friends, give rise to an overwhelming wish to receive teachings from them and to do so, but not to leave it at that, to take their teachings, take their spiritual advice, and put it into practice, continuing to train under his care and guidance throughout what remains of this life and each and every life, rapidly through his care and guidance, giving rise to generating the same realizations that he himself has achieved. In this way, we cultivate the causes through meditating on ethics, to attain a good rebirth as a human or God. To meditate in generosity, we create the causes of favorable circumstances to aid our spiritual progression and our beneficial activities for others. Through cultivating patience, we create the causes for our six senses to be our faculties to be complete and to easily have harmonious relationships with others and to be able thereby to be of benefit to them. And through cultivating joyous perseverance, create the causes to have great interest in virtue, to be naturally inclined to being virtuous. And through our prayers we create the causes to continue to come under the care of our spiritual teachers and to train under their guidance and thereby rapidly progress towards achieving liberation and enlightenment itself. So right now, the world is in, there's a lot of fear in the world due to this pandemic. And this certainly, looking at it in most ways, is an adverse circumstances to beneficial activities. However, being isolated in your home, you have this opportunity to transform this adverse circumstance into one that is greatly favorable. You now are in an isolated place, a place where the afflictions are not going to easily arise, the place where you can concentrate, hear these teachings, listen to them again and again, reflecting on their meaning, gaining ever greater familiarity, strengthening virtuous minds and their familiarity with them in yourselves. And in this way, approach the attainment or the cultivation of bodhicitta ever more rapidly. And tomorrow in our next session we'll come to the next practice of bodhisattvas, which is that on impermanence, and impermanence particularly in the context of giving up preoccupation with this life. Well, thank you very much.